On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.
Welcome into the Who's On Podcast, part of the Saber Podcast Network, presented in part by Joe Reed and Alcova Mortgage. Score your perfect home today. All right, we are back with Greg Medea from the Daily Progress for part two of our UVA smorgasbord of everything going on this spring. We talked about baseball and basketball in part one, so if you missed that, go back and catch that. But now we got UVA spring football because practice opens up on Monday. Now, one of their first of 15 practices this spring, and it concludes, of course, with the spring game on April 12th. Greg, before we get into this, there has been a lot of chatter throughout college football about spring games, and I just want to get your thoughts on this right now. Just right before we started recording, I saw NC State is got rid of their spring game, no public access to their practices throughout. Nebraska was one of the first to do this, and which is crazy because Nebraska usually has a really big spring game. And there's been a couple other programs throughout the country. Texas is another one. What do you make of this trend?
Yeah, it's to me, it's probably a disservice to the fan. Well, not probably. It definitely is a disservice to the loyal fans who love showing up and that one, you know, on a nice warm weather Saturday in April to watch, to get a glimpse of what the fall could look like. That's tough. That said, I understand why coaches feel they might need to do so. You might need to scrap the spring game, granted, because everybody's looking at film. Everybody is scouring for the next transfer portal player they can go after. So I do understand it from the coach's point of view. It's probably a little overprotective, right? Let's just be honest. I think if there are players opposing programs want, they probably already know who they are. I would think maybe at the group of five level and the FCS level, like that's probably a little more understandable because some of those guys are so under the radar that you might not want the big schools checking them out. But other than that, like the big schools, I don't know. I have a hard time with them doing that much of a disservice to their fans.
Yeah, I've always had such a hard time understanding, you know, limiting access to fans. I mean, obviously we're impacted by that too, as the media, and I have my own quails about that, but just from a fan perspective, I mean, like what is someone going to find out from a spring game that they couldn't find out or didn't already know? You know, this like stuff is out there. Like limiting access is only doing a disservice to your fans, especially now when you are asking so much of fans with NIL money and
collectives,
you know, and collectives
and donations and everything else, and you're still pulling their arm and in case you want, you know, donations for facilities at some schools. Like you're asking quite a bit of the fan. The least you can do is open up the gates one time during the spring.
And the whole thing with NIL at the beginning was it's also, you know, that's obviously putting money in the pockets of players, you know, that deserve it. It's their name, it's their image, their likeness. But it's also was supposed to open up access to fan bases, you know, through different NIL, you know, things. But this is restricting the access. So at a time when you're paying more, you're getting less access to your favorite team and you're making less of a connection with your fan base, which is why I think it's crazy. I'm sure more schools will jump on this and, you know, we'll kind of see how it develops. I know that, you know, I heard Steve Sarkisian, the head coach of Texas, talk about it. And he was like, it's more of an NFL OTA style of thing now, which is great. But is one game going to change that? Like, is one spring game, like one practice, how much is that impacting that?
Well, especially too, like, think back to like past spring games. How often is the spring game star not really ever seen again until the next spring game? You know, That's
Claiborne Richards had a great play in the last spring game.
yeah,
Jack
right.
Greasy had his breakout two spring
Right,
games ago.
exactly. And you saw a glimpse of him here or there, but it's a little different. It's not like, you already know who your good players are if you're a fan. You already know who the team's best players are, and so much of it is found out in January now anyway, through the transfer portal of December and January, excuse me. Yeah, I don't know. For one Saturday, I think it's fine. Everything else, if it needs to be closed, that's the coach's prerogative. But one Saturday in the spring, they can open it up.
Trust me, college football coaches, college coaches in general can be a weird brand. They think differently than a lot of other people. I remember, hearing about, Bronco Mendenhall or, some other coaches with when they're building, buildings on campus, like not having a view of the practice fields from the student dorms. And I mean, there was the whole thing with Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma,
Yeah.
and that one was actually a little more, I mean, like they were directly looking at practice, but yeah, college football coaches, they're different and they kind of have to be, but I think it's going a little too far with the spring game.
On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.
Looking at UVA more specifically here, we're going to do a little bit of a 3-2-1 on UVA spring ball. Three players to watch, two big questions, and one prediction. You can kind of go any direction that you want with this. But I figure we start with the three players to watch, and I figure Chandler Morris is pretty high on both our lists. Just he's the new quarterback, he's the new cup of tea in town, so let's see what he's got in the spring.
Yeah, I'm with you there. He's got to be on that list because of all the hype through the transfer portal season. He was their number one target at the quarterback spot. They went after him. They got him. There's the familiarity there between him and the staff. Now you just want to see what it looks like and how it alters the offense a little bit. Is it going to look the same as it did with Anthony Calandria behind center? Is it going to look a little bit different and incorporate maybe some more, air raid principles than that Morris had played in, right, at his past schools. So to me, that's one of the more fast. That's probably the most fascinating storyline of the spring, and he's probably the top player to watch.
Quarterback sits on the throne. They're the ones that dominate the headlines. Who's another guy that has your eye?
Yeah, I think couple probably at the receiver position, like Jaden Thomas. Coming off of what he did at Notre Dame as playing in a national championship game, he wasn't heavily used there, like a star wide receiver. But I'm interested to see how he fits in. I've heard he can play slot, play wide out. It'll be really all those receivers that they got: Cam Ross from James Madison, Jamal Edrine from Purdue. How are those guys going to fit in? What's the chemistry with Morris too? They've been thrown on their own. And that started, after all of them got to UVA, the Thomas a little later, obviously, because he was playing in the title game. But I want to see how that looks. And then probably the other guy I'm watching, and it's more of a unit, but I'm excited to see what Monroe Mills looks like on the offensive line and how they shape that group. But Mills, he was the heralded top target once he became available. So you want to see how Virginia puts that offensive line together.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. I mean, it's always been the thing that, they play a couple different positions in spring ball just to kind of see where
Yeah.
guys are fitting. Tyshawn Wyatt has said that, he's been told he'll play some tackle, he'll play some
Yeah.
guard, just to kind of see where he's going to go. And I expect that for a lot of other guys because now you got a lot of pieces and you got to figure out how they kind of, Terry Heffernan's got to figure out how the puzzle goes together on the offensive line. Sticking back with the receivers, I'm going to go with the returner, Trell Harris, just
Yeah.
because. Obviously started up last season so well and then, got injured, was out for long stretch there, and then came back against Virginia Tech. And obviously we didn't get to kind of see the full Trell Harris effect last year. And I think coming into this year, he's the number one guy in the receiving room. So how can he kind of step up in that receiving room and kind of lead the way there? I think that's something I'm really going to be fascinated to see this year. And then a guy that missed last year is Mekhi Buchanan, just kind of seeing where he's at health wise. And I know he had a lot of talk about him last year and kind of what he could do before the injury. And so, could he kind of get his way back in and figure into this pass rush situation that Virginia's got now, where they brought in a ton of guys to compete with, and Kazee Moore, Fisher Kamak, Mitchell Melton, T.T. Jones still there. So they got a ton of competition there, and obviously he's a guy that had a lot of potential last year.
I'll give you
And
one
look,
on defense too, Ethan Minter.
yeah.
Right? I mean, he played a little bit this past fall out of necessity when Clary got hurt. And I think they were really, really high on him last year. It's just going to take some developing. You talk about a former high school quarterback who switched sides of the ball and positions. And now he should be better off going into year two at Virginia. You want to see how he develops this spring.
Absolutely. It kind of takes me right into, well, the two big questions. My first big question is who steps up in the secondary? Obviously, they're looking to add guys in the secondary, but who of the guys that's there right now, who's stepping up? You got a lot of, talent to replace at safety with Jonas Sanker leaving, also Corey Thomas out. So kind of, guys like Ethan Minter, Kiki Adams, another young guy. Devin Neal, the new safety from Louisville, coming in, and Jason Prevard, the corner from Morgan State. So just kind of who steps up in that secondary? I think it's going to be a big question, because that's one of the big question marks I have about this UVA team as a whole right now.
Yeah, I think Neal's going to slide into Sanker's old spot. At least that's what Neal told me the plan was after he committed to Virginia, is he's going to play Jonas Sanker's old position. Clary is due back. He told me last week that he's due back, in August. So by the time the season kicks off, so you won't see him in the spring. But he's rehabbing to get that ACL right. He'll have a starting role when he comes back. You don't come back for a seventh year if you're not going to start. Right? I mean, that's as simple as it gets. And then I think corner, Trey Walker, to me, is kind of the missing piece in all this, right? Flashed as a freshman, had an interception at Boston College, and
A great interception, too.
since then, has spent his time in and out of uniform. Healthy, not healthy, injured, not injured, back and forth between the sideline and the field. And he's someone that's going to have to play, right? He lengthy, rangy. He's kind of what they look for at cornerback. And if they're going to proceed forward with him, he's got to show that he can stay healthy and produce like he had been on track to do very, very early in his career.
Yeah, he was one of the guys I highlighted going into last season. And obviously the injuries just never let it happen. And that's kind of been a thing Tony Elliott's talked about with Dre Walker is, he's got to stay healthy to be able to be out there and play. But if he can stay healthy and kind of show the development, he could be a real success story for Tony Elliott when you're talking about they want to build this program through the draft, through the high school
The high
ranks,
school,
and developing these guys. They need him to kind of come through. What's a big question you have on your mind?
just how the offense, how does the offensive line look? I mean, that's the big question. They went out and they spent money on the offensive line. Now it's all going to come together. If they can get that right, I think a lot of other things will fall in place for this team. But the offensive line, I talked about Monroe Mills already. Then you look at the center spot. Will it be Brady Wilson? Will he be there? I would think that's the natural position for him. Noah Josie is kind of the veteran in the room. He's been in the program. He's around. I think he'll miss the spring though. Same with Mikael Boley. Those guys are out for the spring. Well, coming off injury, and off-season surgeries. So you'll want to see a lot of those new pieces for Virginia. How are they settling in? Tyshawn Wyatt. He's got to be someone you look at. So there's a lot there for UVA to evaluate and take a look at. Kevin Wigginton. What does UVA have exactly in him? Started some games at Michigan State, didn't play a whole lot at Illinois. So that's for me the big question, because As nice as it is that they got their guy in Chandler Morris at quarterback, it won't matter if you can't block.
Yeah. You got, and it's kind of going to be the interesting dynamic. And we've talked to some of the guys like Monroe and Brady about kind of mixing the guys that were here with all this big transfer class, because you're going to have to, it's going to be a little bit of bits of the transfers. It's going to be bits of the guys coming back. Obviously, you mentioned Noah Josi, Mikhail Boley names there. Blake Steen's another guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess Drake Metcalf, where does he fit in all
He,
this?
yeah, he's I had heard, he should be good to go for the spring. That's what I had heard kind of behind the scenes. And he's someone that potentially could have started at guard or center for them
Yeah.
last year and was supposed to help them solve some of the issues. So I would think, he wouldn't have come back unless he thought he would have a chance to compete. Remember, he played for Heffernan at Stanford too, so there's some personal connection there. But yeah, I think it's just another option, and that's what's so encouraging, right? They've got 10 offensive linemen on a roster who have started at least one college football game. I think a lot of programs would sign up for that and take their chances
Yeah.
with what happens.
And that doesn't really even configure some of the young guys that they've had in the program. I've heard good
Yeah.
things about Cole Serber behind the scenes, and Grant
Grant Ellinger,
Ellinger
yeah.
was another guy that, kind of was on the depth chart for a lot of last season. Didn't get a ton of playing time, but was he was around. Yeah, so a lot of options kind of, and that's going to be really interesting to see kind of how that shakes out this year. All right, one prediction, and you can kind of go any way with this. And I'm going to just kind of say, I think the momentum that you've kind of seen them build in the spring, or build in the, through the transfer portal through this winter, kind of picks up. When we ended off in Blacksburg, like it looked real dicey, real dire. A lot of
Yeah.
people, how they talked about the program, and just, we talked about in that big transfer portal, review that we did, like it seems like the momentum has kind of recovered a little bit for Tony Elliott in this program, and I kind of expect that to continue coming out of the spring and just kind of moving forward into the summer.
I think too that the new quarterback Daniel Kalen will have some bright moments in spring football. I think he's gotten a little overlooked because of the Chandler
Yeah.
Morris addition, and I'm not saying he's going to beat Morris out for the job or anything, but I think for him, and when I spoke with him in whatever it was, December or January, a big point was, getting away from Nebraska, getting away from the Dylan Raiola, right there in the same class, one of the more highly touted quarterbacks in that recruiting year. And now, you're out on your own. You could show everybody what you got, and you might feel like you have a fair crack at the job, even if he's got to sit, for a year or two, or for a year, excuse me, behind Morris. I think he'll have some bright moments in spring, and that Virginia will be very happy they've added two quarterbacks.
And we can't speak about it enough, just the complete transformation they've done in that quarterback room
It's
from last year to
wild.
this year. And we haven't seen them play in a Virginia uniform yet, but
No.
like, you can't tell me you don't feel better about having Chandler Morris and Daniel Kalen than kind of where you were last year. And that's not to disparage Tony Musket or Anthony Calandria. I just think it's a healthier situation that they kind of have going for this quarterback room.
Really, they've been trying to catch up in numbers in that room since Jay
Yeah.
Wolfolk's decision just to stick with baseball a couple of years ago. I guess whatever it was, not this past summer, the summer before,
Yeah.
right? They went in that fall, and by the time Wolfolk had decided only on baseball, like it was too late to go out and try to add to that quarterback room. So they went into the year with Musket and Calandria, and that's kind of where it stuck at since. They brought in Gavin Frakes last off season, not this past winter, the winter before, and he's still around. So you've got three, you got two players who've started college games, and then one in Daniel Kalen, who you're high on in terms of the projection and what it could look like. Then you think about the freshman class coming in. There's two there, and they've got one committed already for the following class. Like it feels like it's a little stronger depth wise. And I didn't even mention Grady Brosterhouse, who's still around, and maybe you'll see the Grady Bunch again.
Gotta have that play locked and loaded. And
I
then you
guess
gotta,
the tush push getting eliminated though at the NFL level, the college.
the Green Bay Packers are trying to take it out of the NFL. They're the ones that put the complainer, whatever the term is, To
So
get it out of there.
will Coastal Carolina petition them today? Because
Out
I think Brosterhouse had two touchdowns in that
of
game.
any team, it would be Coastal Carolina. And of course, who do they play week one of next season is Coastal Carolina.
You
I
got to
think
do it quick then.
they'll have that play locked and loaded. Another thing, I think prediction wise is I think this offense will look, it's going to take time to kind of get the chemistry down there. There's a lot of new pieces offensively.
Yeah.
I think it'll look a little more coherent with kind of a veteran presence, on the offensive line and at quarterback, and kind of give Des Kitchings, a little bit more room, who, enters this year after, kind of on the hot seat. Just, I mean, the whole program's kind of,
Yeah, the
the
whole
whole
program.
program's there, but, especially Des Kitchings, he caught a lot of fire towards the end of last year. So I'm really interested to see kind of what he does with this offense now. You've got the guys up front, you've got a veteran quarterback, so kind of what do you do with this? And maybe we see a little bit more sparks fly in the spring game than normal. Although I'm sure, a Jack Greasy or a Claiborne Richards will still emerge.
Yeah, hey, you gotta be ready for the spring game, but you also gotta protect, right? That's what the coaches will tell you. You gotta protect from the outside looking in.
Well, it'll be interesting. We got 15 practices to kind of get a clue into what this Virginia team's going to look like. Greg's going to be there the whole time providing coverage throughout, so you can find his stuff over at the Daily Progress. And we will also have some coverage over at thesaber.com and be talking throughout it. Greg, thanks for coming on for this two-part UVA smorgasbord. Look up how to spell that because I had to. But thanks for coming on, man.
All right, Preston. Thanks.
All right, that'll do it for the Who's On podcast, part of the Sabre Podcast Network, and of course, now sponsored by Joe Reed and Alcova Mortgage. Score your perfect home today with them. We are going to be back next week with more on UVA athletics, probably some more baseball, some more basketball, and as spring football gets going, we will be here along the way. So we'll see you next week here on the Who's On podcast.
Field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.